I read a little anecdote this week from the occurred during the War for American Independence, or the Revolutionary War, which, whatever you want to call it, it's the, you know, two names for the same thing. And I call it, it's from the "If it ain't true, it ought to be" file, because it's illustrative of a point, whether, you know, it's happened or whether it's just illustrate, you know, just to illustrate something. But the story goes that there were these soldiers were doing some kind of task, manual labor kind of task, and didn't say, and, you know, it was difficult, and they were needing some help, and this corporal was supervising, you know, how supervisors go, and another officer came along and said to the corporal, you know, the men need help, why aren't you helping? And the corporal said, "Sir, I am a corporal. I'm not a mere soldier. I am a corporal." So the other officer said, "Fine." So he, you know, he took off his coat and rolled up his sleeves and went and pitched in, and they finished the job eventually. And after the job was finished, the officer puts his coat back on and he says, "Corporal, sir, just know next time that you need some help, If your soldiers need help, just call your commander in chief." And with that, General George Washington left the guy. And now you know the rest of the story. There's another story, and this I think is probably true because it was told to me by one of my Jesuit professors. That, and he used it to illustrate this example too, that one of his fellow Jesuits was known as a someone who really took to heart John the Baptist's words about Jesus: "He must increase and I must decrease," and he tried to live that way. And so whenever somebody asked about, "Well, how's so and so doing?" the answer was always, "Well, he's still trying to get to the bottom of the heap." And, you know, the question, the point about George Washington is that was George Washington a great man? And he was not unfamiliar with manual labor and difficult tasks. I mean, he surveyed he was a surveyor in a wilderness and could spend, you know, days in a saddle on a horse. I mean, he was a big strapping guy too, so it's certainly possible that that story is true. And in any event, was he a great man because he was willing to help with to help the soldiers with that task? And I would say that it's the reverse. It's because he was a great man, he was willing to do that. Because, and certainly as when it comes to great men, he's certainly one of the, I would say, three or four greatest that this country produced, you know, and it's not a contest, so he won't say who's the greatest, but he was certainly a great man, and the reason is he was focused on where the greatness came in is he was focused on the task. The task was ultimately, of course, winning the war. He was focused on the mission. And whatever these soldiers had to do was part of that, and so he was willing to help. But also, he saw a chance to teach this corporal a little bit about leadership, which is leadership is focus on the mission. Focus on the mission and don't worry about being a corporal, you know, or don't worry about the position, because as Jesus says, those over the Gentiles lord it over them. And they love being, you know, they love the honors and things like that. And he's saying leadership is not about lording over. Leadership is about the mission. That's what Jesus was about. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying focus on the mission. That's what, and his mission was ultimately to die. Ultimately was to take up his cross when the time came, to take up his cross and die. But he knew he kind of knew what was going to happen, or at least he had that promise that, yes, he would die, but he would rise. And so victory, the victory here, in the case of the Revolutionary War, the victory over the British would be the accomplishment of the mission. But for Jesus, the victory was over sin and death, which is even tougher than the British, as good as they were in those days. Sin and death. But to conquer over death, he had to die. And so that's why he came, to serve and to show what love is, because that's why he came. He came out of love. That God created us out of love. He created us to love and to be loved. And then Jesus came ultimately to show us what that looks like. And that means to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's what he reminded the disciples of. They were worried about position and things like that, but he said, focus on the mission. The mission is to spread my love, to spread God's love to the world, to draw them to me so that I may save them and give them life eternal. And so that's what he wants us to do, to focus on the mission. The mission is, first of all, loving the way Jesus loved, loving with that self-giving love, loving with that idea of a servant that says, the mission is to love that person. And so how do I show that? And, you know, it doesn't always necessarily look like we think it does, but the focus is on them. Give them love, give them what they need, get them so that they can experience the love of God, and ultimately, of course, when they can experience sort of directly from God, it's even greater than when we can, you know, sort of when it comes through us. But and then for us too, to experience that love of God, for us to remain connected to that source of love, so that again people may be drawn to him to receive his gift of eternal life. And so indeed he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. And so for us, as he says, we want to take up our cross and follow him to life eternal. But while we're on the way, spread his love to one another, to serve one another, so that they too may be drawn to him and receive that life, so that we all may be together in his kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven, where there is no more death, there is no more sorrow, no more tears, but simply life with our Lord in his kingdom.